Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Pei Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Asara Tanoim Hisna Yeshua. Yeshua made 10 rules for Klal Yisrael when they divided up Eretz Yisrael. Shemiroim B'Chorshim, that everybody should have the right to plow, that they should be allowed to bring their animals to any fields. The Mefarshim point out that what does it mean that Yeshua made these rules when he divided up Eretz Yisrael? That even though the Gemara doesn't indicate that this was a precondition to everybody getting their share in Eretz Yisrael, says the Rambam that the Rambam holds a manas kein hilchen Yeshua's aretz, that only somebody who is prepared to accept these rules is a person who could merit and deserve the property he receives in Eretz Yisrael. And if a person is not willing to live with these rules, according to the Rambam, he forfeits his rights to the properties. The Yadayaliyah explains that what Yeshua was trying to accomplish, that if he won't put in these rules, there's going to be competition, there's going to be strife. And what Yeshua wanted as Klal Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael, to have just the opposite, that all of Klal Yisrael should live there in Eretz Yisrael with peace and harmony. And the way he saw that he perhaps could accomplish this is with these rules. So everybody could bring their animals into whatever forest, as we'll see in the Gemara. People could pick up wood from somebody else's property. And there are Rishonim, however, point out that this rule was only instituted for people who were traveling. And people who traveled obviously need wood. And because they need wood, and they're not where they live, they don't have wood readily available. So again, that should be permitted. And all these rules are going to be further explained in the Gemara. You're allowed to pick up grass in every place. Chutz mitilson, it's a type of a bean. Trees that are very young, if you're allowed to cut them down. Chutz mi groifius, whence the size of groifius shel zayis. At that point, that's the size that they're left on the ground. And since they're at that point, they're left on the ground, you're not allowed to touch them. There's another pshat that even when we're cutting down olive tree, we have to make sure that there is that much left of this of the tree. Umayin hayoytz min atchila, if there's a new source of water, even though that source of water is in somebody's private field, the halacha is that everybody in the city may enjoy that water. Umechakim, one could put out nets to catch fish. Somebody shouldn't put out like a fence of wood. Because if you're going to put out such a permanent structure, it's going to cause the boats to get stuck. It's going to block the boats from being able to travel. Tosfos points out that not only may people who are just fishing not do this, but even people in boats have to be careful that if they go out to fish, they have to be considerate of people who have boats. Somebody who's walking in the street and they need to use the bathroom, they could go behind the fence of somebody's field. They obviously don't want to use the bathroom publicly. That's a place that is not exposed. But even though it's a field that's full of the saffron seed, which of course is very expensive, and there's a concern that the waste could chas v'sholem ruin it, we don't have to worry about it. One could walk on the side of the roads after the grain was taken in, because at that point the grain was taken in, there's everything that's left is hefker, and that remains the rule that you can walk on the side of the field until the second time of the rain to come begins, the second rain season, the second rain of the season's time to come begins, which, as the Gemara Masechta Tainus that Vava Manalev teaches us, is on Yud Zayin Mecheshvin. Mistalkim Tzidei Drachim. We take the border of the road, even though if there's Tvua, they say the Sadrachim. People walk there, and therefore, if there's going to be bundles, it makes it complicated for people to be able to walk there. V'tayah ben akroim, and somebody gets lost in the vineyard, and he doesn't know how to get out. Mafsik v'ayla, he could cut off a branch that's in his way, that he should be able to get through. Mafsik v'yayrid, as he's going up and down the vineyard. And the last halacha is, umeis mitzvah kaidim mekaymai, the halacha is, the umeis mitzvah is buried, as we're going to learn, wherever he dies, and the halacha is, that's where you leave him, even though it's not in a cemetery. But again, this is going to be a halacha that we're going to explain in each halacha individually. So the first halacha that Yeshua instituted was Shemar B'Chorshim, that they should be allowed to put the animals in all types of forest in Eretz Yisrael, to which Rapapa comments, Amar Rapapa, Ela Loya Morin, when was this halacha said? Daka, we're talking about a behemoth, Daka, Begasa, where there's a lot of trees. And since the behemoth Daka does not have the ability to destroy the trees, so that's why the behemoth Daka is allowed to go into such a field. Avo Daka Bedaka. If you have a behemoth Daka that doesn't, and the field doesn't have a lot of trees, and since the field doesn't have a lot of trees, there the likelihood that even a behemoth Daka will ruin the field is greater. And Gasa Begasa, or if it's a behemoth Gasa, even in a big field, but since the animals are very big, they have the ability to destroy no matter what type of trees there are there, Loi. Then the halacha is that Yeshua did not allow this. For Koshkein, there's no need to say that Gasa Bedaka, a large animal in a field, which is Daka, the halacha is that certainly Yeshua will not allow this. So we explain the Gemara according to the way Rashi explains that where is the behemoth allowed to go? That's in a field that the trees are thick, and therefore the animal cannot destroy the trees because it's a behemoth daka. But if it's in a place where the animals can destroy the tree, then we can't allow even a behemoth daka to go there. There are other Rishonim. The Shita quotes the Rabbeinu Yoydenson that says that it's not the fact that to take into consideration is not thick, big trees or small trees. He says the difference is between a field with many trees versus a field that with not so many trees. And then I saw another pshat. It depends if the field was plowed. If the field was plowed and the animal walking there will possibly destroy the work that was done in plowing the field, then we can't allow any animal to go there. And if that isn't a concern, then Rapapa says, that's what Yeshua said, the animal may go there. The next Tanai Yeshua made was a Malachtim Eitzim Esodaseyim, that people could collect wood from other people's field when people may collect wood from other people's field when they need it. Says the Gemara, Loya Morin, when was this said? Ella behizmi vehigi. So, Pashup Shara means is that hizmi vehigi are inferior wood. And since they're inferior, people don't care. And somebody who needs the wood Yeshua said, is allowed to take it. The Miri says that the difference between hizmi and higi is that we're talking about inferior quality wood, but the point that the Gemara is trying to make, says the Miri, that the difference is whether it is attached or detached from the ground. And the Gemara is saying it doesn't make a difference if it's attached or detached. The halacha is that it's mutter, if it's these inferior tree, if wood. Abba shar eitzim, other types of wood which are better, loy. Bafil behizmi behigi, loy amar al bechubarin. Abba tulushin loy, because if it's disconnected, it's going to be difficult to have to recut the field. Bafil mechubarin loy amar al balach, when they're moist. Ablivation loy. Dry wood is something that is very valuable for firewood, and therefore the owner should not be deprived of that wood. And one more rule is that even when you're taking the wood that's connected, you have to be careful not to uproot the root entirely. That is something that is unacceptable, and therefore it'll be difficult to replant there, and that the owner is not agreeable to. So here we said that the Miri says that the difference between Hizmi and Higi is if it's attached or detached. And then the next line of the Gemara says that it's never permissible when it's attached, when it's detached. So how do we reconcile what the Miri says and what the Gemara says? So I saw that the Ramah asked this question, and Ramah says that we normally explain Tulusha means disconnected from the ground, and Mechubarim is connected to the ground. Mechubarim in this sense is not if it's connected to the ground. Mechubarim is if it still needs to nourish from the ground. And the Gemara is saying is that if it doesn't need to nourish from the ground, then you're not allowed to take it. But if it's connected to the ground, but needs no more nourishment, then it's permissible. We learned further, we could collect grass everywhere, except for grass that grows in the Tilson field. As we said Tilson earlier, Tilson is a type of bean. Ask the Gemara. So that means that the grass in that field is obviously very valuable. Ask the Gemara, remember the Tilson malu asovim? Does that mean that grass is good for Tilson? Verminu, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Klayim. Perek Beis Mishnah teaches us Tilson Sh'ala Shalsa Emine Asovim. If Tilson grew with grass, Eim Echaibin Asoi Laker. There's always a concern of Klayim, since the grass that's there is something that the people don't want to keep there, because the grass is detrimental to the Tilson. So therefore, we don't have to worry about Klayim there. So we see that the grass is not good for the Tilson. And here we're saying that specifically by a Tilson field, we shouldn't take the grass. Answers the Gemara, Amar Yimri Lakasha. Kan Lazera, the Mishnah Masechta Klayim is speaking about Tilson that was planted for the seeds. The Kan, the Brisa, that's speaking about what Yeshua did, was speaking about Lazirin, that they planted the Tilson for animal food. Lizera, when it's planted for the seed, koshla asovim, the grass is detrimental to it, the machshalei, the grass weakens the tilson. Lizirin, but when it's planted for animal food, on the contrary, malalei, in that case, the grass is good for it. The kikaima ben asovim, when the tilson grows amongst grass, mirkika, then it gets soft. Of course, points out Tosfos. So now we have a problem. If the grass and the Tilson are a perfect mixture, because that makes it very attractive for the animal to eat, so then why would there be a problem of Klayim? So the Tosfos answers that we're referring here to a situation that you don't have the sheer Klayim. And since you don't have the sheer Klayim, that isn't a consideration. And the way Rashi explains what happens is that the Tilson grows on top of the grass, and that's the way they come out soft. The Aruch seems to explain that it's not that they grow on top. the Aruch seems to say that according to Rashi, the proper girsa in the Gemara ought to be Merkava. They lay on top of each other. And therefore, the Aruch says Merkava, they soften each other up, and it's more, and therefore it's easier for the animal to eat. Ibai Seima, another way of answering, are grass good for Tilsit or not? Kan La'adam, the Mishnah in Klaim, is we're speaking about when they're for human consumption. And people don't want to eat grass. Kan L'Behema, the Kivin L'Behema who desara, since he planted the Tilsin on behalf of the animals, Asavim Nami Boile, he wants that the animals should even get eat the grass. Or Menor Yedinen, so ask the Gemara, how would we know what was the purpose why this person planted the grass there? Amar Papa, Shari Mishari, if it's planted in neat rows, that's a proof that it was planted Laudam, Loi Shari Mishari, but if it wasn't planted in neat rows, that's a proof that it was done Lebehema. So as the Mefarshim explained, if it was planted for animal consumption, the owner has no problem with his animal eating grass, and therefore he wants the grass to remain there. And the Meiri explains as follows: grass is good for the tilson, but what grass does for the tilson, explains the Meiri, it helps it grow quantitatively, but not qualitatively. So when you're planting for animals, and what's most important to you is the quantity, so there we have grass is good. When we're planting for human people, for humans, we're much more concerned about the quality. And the quality of the tilson drops when you have grass over there. So the Shita asks a question. Here the Gemara said that the difference between our Braisa and the Mishnah Masechet Klayim was if you planted it for people or you planted it for animals. A moment ago, the Gemara said the difference was if you planted it for the seed or you planted it for animal food. Lazero Lazirin. So they ask, why didn't the Gemara ask the Shita ask, why didn't the Gemara ask the same question a moment ago? The Gemara should have asked that by, how do we know if it was planted Lazera or Lazirin? So the Shita answers that apparently to be able to tell if it was planted Lazera or Lazirin is quite easy. But to be able to tell if it was planted L'Adam L'Behema is not as easy. And that's why the Gemara wanted to say, see, how can we tell? We learned further, the kite min hatir b'kamakim, we could cut off the branches of the trees, chutz mi groifius, the size of two fistfuls, shel zayis. That we may not do. Perish of Tancha Rebbeus Shumzak Mechad, b'zayis, how much do we have to leave over of the branch of an olive tree? Gebeya. It has to, from, we have to leave the size of a beya of next to the tree that the branch can regenerate. The kanim fanim, by other grape trees, kanim, we have to leave menapak. There are like knots in the branch. We have to leave from the last branch until the tree trunk left over. Ulamala. Ubishak kololonis, all other trees, men ubay shalilan, that we have to leave over the soft part of the branch. V'loi menchuda shalilan, not from the branches that grow from the middle of the tree that are thick. Mina chadosh, einoy saperis, we should only cut off from new branches that aren't yet producing fruit. Which type of branch may be cut off? We could only cut off old branches, new branches that aren't producing fruit yet. And we should only cut off from the side that doesn't make fruit. Again, we want to limit the amount that we're taking away from the tree. So Rashi explains that the difference between Ubishalulan and Chudishalulan is the difference between the thick branches and the thin branches. The Shita explains that the difference is where, and that's very consistent with the way we've been learning the Gemara, from the place that doesn't make fruit versus from the place that does make fruit. Not from the direction facing the sun. And again, the reason is because the direction that faces the sun causes that the sun causes the fruit to ripen and be sweet. Shenemar v'negetvua shemesh. The best tvua, the best produce, the best grapes come from what faces, comes from faces the sun, and that's why we don't want to take off from the tree. We learned even a new source of water. Everybody in the city could use that water. Comments to Gemara. Amar Rabbi Rafuna. Even though the Gemara has been so lenient and us being allowed to use the water, it doesn't mean that we don't have to pay for it. He says that you have to pay, but says the Gemara, Yeshua's Tanai was that they're allowed to use the water without any payment. We also learned, we could put out nets in the river of Tveria, but we're not allowed to put out sticks. Because by putting out sticks, we're going to block the boats from traveling. We could put out nets or other types of traps. All of these nets or traps don't block travel in the water. When they divided Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim made a deal with each other. Shalyifras Kliya, the Yamid, that's the sum of them, that they're not allowed to put out sticks or any type of trap that will block the boats. Avot Tzorhu, Bereshus Mechmeres, one is allowed to put out different types of nets. So I saw that the Sefer Teres Chaim explains that what is Peshat in this Gemara, what Yeshua did, and what the Shvatim did. He says, the way to understand the Gemara was that Yeshua made this rule. And then afterwards, they were even nicer to each other. And they were very generous in the way they allowed each other to plant in the fields, to put nets in each other's water. And then it reverted that they didn't give permission. And then they came back to what Yeshua's original rule was. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, Yamashot Tveri Bechelkish on Naphtali Isa. It was in Naphtali's territory. Veloyoid, Ashenotal Melacheva Cherim. He took a trap, Bedroima, in the south to be a place where he could catch fish. Kaim Ashenema, Yom Vedrom Yerosha. That we should have a portion even in the Yam Kneret and he should be able to catch fish throughout. Tanya of Shimon Elazar Omer, Talushin Shebaharim, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, Talushin Shebaharim, Becheses Kol Shvatim Emomdim. The halacha is that that grass that grows everywhere, everybody's allowed to take it. It's not considered the property of the Shevet of where it is. However, the Chubarim, what's connected, what's attached to the ground, becheskes oisu shevet. Ve'elcha kol shevet v'shevet Yisrael. Shein loy. Now the Gemara says that when they divided up Eretz Yisrael has many different types of land. Eretz Yisrael has very many different types of climates. And when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, they divided it up in a way that everybody should get every type. Ahar is mountains, Shvela valleys, Benegev, Shvela's flatland, Negev, that are dry lands, Amic Valley. Shnama Pnu Sulach Bahar Mairi, the Kol Shechena Barava Bahar B'Shvela, the Negev B'Choyf Hayom. They got from everything. They came out the Mitzvah B'Kananim or B'Pruizim. that they also, the nations who inhabited Eretz Yisrael, had all these different types of property. Shenemar, that's called Shechenov, Alma Shechenov Hachiavi. Just like the Klai Yisrael, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, had all these different types of properties, so did the Umas Ha'olim that lived there. We learned further in the Tanoim of Yeshua, V'niftnuin l'churi ha'gedar, V'afil of sadashim olakarkim, that anybody can use the bathroom behind the fence, even if it's growing saffron, which is extremely expensive. Says the Gemara of Achba Yaakov, L'nitzucha, this, that Yeshua made this rule, is little menetzror, that somebody could even take a stone from the fence to clean himself. Amar of Chizda, Vafilu b'Shabbos. Even though normally moving a stone on Shabbos is muksa, here halach is that because of the halacha kavra brias, that a person should be allowed to clean himself, that the halacha is that you could do it on Shabbos. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that the halacha is as far as hilchos muksa. The Miri's approach to the Gemara is that even though this stone is in the fence, so therefore maybe you should be usher to take that stone out of the fence. So the halacha is that you're allowed to take it out. Since it's not attached with cement, it's not considered mechubur, and that's why it can be taken out on Shabbos. Another pshat that I saw that the Rishonim suggest is that not only does Kavod HaBrius allow us to take a stone out of the fence to clean oneself on Shabbos, but also the halacha is that you're allowed to put back the stone. But there are, the Yamsha Shlomo says that actually the halacha does not require, even during the week, to return the stone. Mazutra chasid shokel mahadar, vamalei l'shamei zil sharkei. That not only should you put it back, but put it back with cement, so it should not in any way affect the wall. We learned that after they cut off the grain, the halacha is that the people are allowed to walk in that field until the time for the second rain comes. We who live in Bavel, where it's the property, the land is very moist and dirty, even the dew that falls on the land is detrimental, and therefore the halacha is that we should never walk on somebody else's property. Misalkin, the Tzidei Drachim, we learned that people who are walking in the road should go to the side of the road. They see the Sadrachim. They got people walk there, and therefore they're like pillars in the road that prevent people from being able to walk there. I saw a different pshat, just the opposite. There are ditches that form in the road. Says the Gemara, Shmuel Rav Yehuda v'Kishak v'Azda Berucha. Shmuel Rav Yehuda were walking on the road. Have Mestalk Shmuel le'Tzidei Drachim. He walked to the side. Amalei Rav Yehuda. Tanayim Shishna Yeshua Afil B'Bavel. Just like the rule that Yeshua made, that you walk on the side of the road, applies even B'Bavel. That Shua made his rule even for people in Chutz La'aretz. That people should walk, should have a way to walk, applies everywhere. Rabbi Rav Habikov Shaklev Azim Be'orcha, Rabbi Rav Chiva walking in the road, Estaklet Tzidei Drachim, they walk to the side of the road. Have a Kamav Sivaz Rabbi Yehuda Be'kanusa Kamayu. He was walking from one pole to the other, and he didn't go to the side. Rabbi Rav Chiva, who's this person that's trying to show that he's a greater Yerushalayim and he doesn't want to follow the rule Yeshua made? Maybe it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Yehuda ben Knusa, who's my Talmud, and I can tell you about him. The Kol Maasav L'Shem Shemayim. Kimat al Gabei, when Rabbi Rav Chiya got there, Chaziyeh, they saw that it indeed was Rabbi Yehuda ben Knusa. Amalei ilav Yehuda ben Knusa at, if not that I knew that Yehuda ben Knusa, gazatinu l'shakr begizah de pazla, I would have hit you with a metal chain. It's not appropriate to do something different than everybody does. than everybody does. And therefore, if Yeshua made up that people should always walk on the side of the road and not on the road itself, because it'll ruin different parts of the field, you should not be different. Hatoy ben Akramim, we learned further, if somebody's walking in a vineyard and he can't find a way out, mafsig v'yoyred, he could detach the branches to get in the way in order that he should be able to go in a downward direction, mafsig v'yoyled, and he could do it to be able to go in an upward direction. Tanah bottom. Says the Gemara, Roye Chaveri Toy Ben Akramim. If somebody sees somebody lost, Mafsig V'Oila, Mafsig V'Yoyrid, Achimele L'Yoderich. I can do whatever I need to do on behalf of my friend to get him on the right path. The Kain Husha Toy Ben Akramim. Mafsig V'Oila, Mafsig V'Yoyrid, Achimele L'Yoderich. So ask the Marmai V'Kain, what does the Braisa have to say? That if somebody, if I'm walking with, I see somebody lost, I'm allowed to do it. And then the Braisa says, if I'm lost, I'm allowed to do it. What is the Braisa trying to teach us with this? Says the Ramatay Mechaveru, who do you Lechem Masalik? To get his friend to, I know what to do to get my friend on the right path. That's when I can take down the branches to help him. Avu who? Me myself, the Lo Yod Lechem Masalik, I myself, don't know where I'm going. So, Loi Nifsig, I shouldn't be allowed to take down branches because I may be accomplishing nothing with this. Rather, what should I do? The Hadri, the Hedda Bay Mitzri, I should walk to a place where there's no branches that I'm going to have to cut down. Kamash Malon, even though it's not certain that by me cutting down these, branches, I'm accomplishing, it doesn't make a difference, I'm allowed to do, the shul made up that I'm allowed to do what I have to do to get through, to get to where I need to go. There's a beautiful vart for the Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef. He says that the way to understand this Gemara is talking about if I see somebody, if I see Chaveroi, if I see another Jew who isn't going on the right path, and I'm trying to get him to go on the right path. So the concern, of course, is that maybe if I associate myself with this person who's on the wrong path, I maybe will be affected and influenced by his behavior. So he says what the person should do is mefasig v'oila. A person who's concerned that by associating himself with people who aren't behaving and acting the way they're supposed to be acting, how do I make sure, says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, that I should not be influenced by them? Mafsig v'oila. The first thing I should do is connect myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mafsig v'oila, I should tie myself to Hashem. Once I tie myself to Hashem, then mafsig v'yoyrid, that even if afterwards I'm going to have to go down and connect myself to that individual, I don't need to worry. Where I've been, I will now be in the right place. And he says, that's pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Vav, Azois Yispal Alecha Kol Chosid, Leis Mitzoy, Rak L'Sheft of Mayim Rab Me'lov Lo'yigiu. Just like somebody who jumps into the river to save somebody else, he has to make sure that he, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't also drown. That he has to daven for. Here too, a person who's trying to help and bring other people closer to Hashem has to be careful and has to daven the Chas V'Sholem, it shouldn't adversely affect him. So we're learning from this braisa that this halacha, that you're allowed to cut down the branches to be able to find where you're allowed to go, was from the Tanoim that Yeshua instituted. But ask the Gemara, how the raisa he? This halacha is a din d'oraisa. The Tanya, the Braisa says, that we know that the Torah says there's an important halacha of Hashavas Aveda. So says the Braisa, Hashavas Gufi Minayin. So that means if I find something that belongs to somebody else, I need to do whatever it takes to return it. But how do I know that if somebody is lost and I have to do whatever I can to help him? Hashavas gufa minayim, tamalayim v'ashavaysa. So we see that there's a chiv deraisa already to help a person who's lost. What did Yeshua add? Answers Gemara deraisa, who dekoy be mitzri. The chiv deraisa is that I should take him to the side of the road. Vasa who, and what Yeshua did, Vasa we're talking, what Yeshua instituted was the masik v'ayla, masik v'yorid, that the deraisa halacha does not allow us to cut down the branches. What Yeshua rule was that we could even cut down the branches to be able to help a person who's lost. We learned further that Yeshua made up a rule, meis mitzvah kind of a kaimai, that wherever a person is a meis mitzvah is buried, that's where he's left. For many, asked the Gemara, we learned in a braisa, moitzi meis motobas ratya, if a meis is found buried in a rishos harabim, we should bury him, we should rebury him either to the side, of to the right or to the left. Same bird, but let's say on one side there's a field that isn't plowed, and there's another field that's plowed. So of course, we should put him in the field, but for nail stay bur. If the other field was plowed already, why should we ruin it with a kever? Stay zera. Stay near. If on one side there's a field that was just plowed, and another side is a field that was already planted, but for they stay near. Better the plowed field than the planted field. Hoyishtein buras, if both fields are empty, shtein nirois, both are planted, shtein are plowed, shtein zruas both are planted, but for they is a shiirtsa. We could take him to whichever direction we want. So, how do we understand this if Yeshua said that we bury him where he was found? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abibi, B'motel al Meitzer. We're speaking about a person who's buried along the entire width of the road, and therefore we have to be concerned that since this mace is taking up the entire width of the road, as people will walk there, they may chas v'sholem come tame. And as we often say, besides that a kohen can never become tamei, and they lived in a world where tumah and tahara were a very serious consideration, and therefore to avoid people becoming tamei, we're allowed to move the meis mitzvah. The Rambam says that the rule of meis mitzvah kind of a kaimai is only if the meis was found outside the city. But if it was found within the city, then, says the Rambam, the meis should be taken to the cemetery for burial. The Mashal says that today, since we're in Golis and under non-Jewish jurisdiction, a meis mitzvah should be taken to a cemetery for burial. He says that burying a meis in someone's private field exposes it to bezayin a meis, because we have to be concerned that that field won't always remain in the hands of observant Jews that will treat the mace properly. The Chaznis says that halacha only applies when the mace mitzvah is discovered by a lone traveler or on a battlefield. But he says if a mace is found by a group of people, or if there are people close by who can be contacted without leaving the mace alone, he says it's important to give the mace the proper burial in a Jewish cemetery. The Ramban, based on a Yerushalmi, says that only when the head of the corpse was found together with the majority of his body is it considered a meis mitzvah. However, if only a small part of the corpse is found, these halachas do not apply. The Chazon Ish points out that there's a difference of opinion in the Rishonim to the basic halacha here. He says, Tosfos in Masechta Ksubos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the very maskil Mevatlim, says the Yeshua did not merely entitle the person who finds the mace to bury him there. The Tosfos says that he was obligated to bury him there. But the Chazon Ish says that the other Rishonim say that the purpose was not to make it too burdensome on the person to finds him to have to bury him. And of course, the fundamental nafkamina between these approaches is, let's say you'll have somebody who's prepared to take the nifter to a proper cemetery. According to Tosfos, there's a din that you have to bury him where you find him. However, if it's just for the purpose of making it easier, so if there's somebody who's ready to take him to a proper burial place, then that, of course, should be taken there. Moreover, it seems that the Chazon Ish's opinion was that even if a meis mitzvah was kana mekaymai and he was buried in the battlefield or whatever, if after the war he could be taken out, then maybe that's what should be done, because to leave him in a place alone may not be the proper derech eres. And that's why I saw that the Chelkis Yaakov, Yerideya, Simen Kuf Lamed Vav, discusses a shaila that there were people who were buried during the war, during World War II, and they were just buried wherever they were found. Should they be left there, or should they be reburied in a proper Jewish cemetery, even though we also know that there is a issue of Pinoy HaMeis, that we want to not touch the Mason. And he says that, of course, the proper covet is to take him to a proper Beis HaKvaris. That was the opinion of Chelkis Yaakov. On the other hand, I saw that the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan Shteifs at Tzal was that when our Gemara says, Neis Mitzvah Kana Mekaymai, it means that's where he has to remain permanently. Says the Gemara, Amri, is this true? The Ha'asara, that there were 10? Hani Chatzar Havin, if you'll count, you'll find land. Mahalchem Ashila Drus says the answer, because the rule that walking on the side of the road before you, by in the field before it started planting, Shleim Amra, was already said by Shleim HaMelech. So again, the Gemara's question is, if we count, we'll find 11. Answers the Gemara that this rule of Mahalchem Ashila Rishus was already instituted by Shleim HaMelech. If somebody doesn't have any more fruit in his field, and still, he doesn't let people walk into his field, what do people say about this person? What do we have from this person? If you could be good, why be bad? So I saw that Marie Mentz says that incredibly halacha. He says that a person who has two different Sefer Torah, and one is nicer than another Sefer Torah, so you should read from the nicer Sefer Torah. Why? Because we always want to be toiv. Toiv is to do the mitzvah in the best way possible. Ask the Gemara, Umiksiv, V'alavakasayim v'yoyis toiv al tiyara. Ask the Gemara, Miksim Yois Toiv, Atikri Ra? Answers the Gemara, In. Ksiv Ki Gavna, Atimna Toiv Mibalov, Biyois Lael Yot Chalasis. If you could do something good, never stay back from doing what is a good thing to do. Ask the Gemara, Vesuleka, are there no other rules? Vika, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Bishas at Sars Volum, in the time where people leave the fields with fertilizer, other mitzi zivler Rosh Hashanah, a person could leave his fertilizer in the Rosh Hashanah, and he piles it up there every 30 days. That it should be trampled on, and then it's good fertilizer. So what about this rule? The Taisa says, it seems that if not only is the halacha that you're allowed to put out the fertilizer, but if somebody, chas v'shalom, will get hurt, you won't be responsible. But Dar Sameach says that's not the halacha. The halacha is you have a right to put out the fertilizer, but if somebody gets hurt on that fertilizer, you will be held responsible. Veika asked the Gemara another, the Rabbi Shmuel ben Oish Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Oish Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, Oimer, tonight bezenu, she'izei yoyer l'tech stesh chaveroi, that v'koitzitz shoykoi, shel chaveroi, if somebody has a bees that ran away, you're allowed to go into somebody else's field. take the branch that has those bundles, lahatzel noichlim shloi, to be able, lochel shloi, to get back your bees. You have to give back the owner of that tree the value of that branch. But tonight, Bezdin Hu, that I'm walking and I have wine, there's a barrel of wine there, and I have a barrel of honey that broke, and the barrel of honey is more valuable than the barrel of wine, that I'm allowed to break that person's barrel of, pour out that person's barrel of wine to use it to save my honey. And I have to pay for the wine. But tonight, Bezdenu, she's a mefarakus eitzav. I could take off the wood off somebody else's donkey. The time pishtan shel chaveri. I'm carrying linen, which is more valuable than wood. I could take the wood off to put on the linen. The night of the meiosu b'toich pishtan shel chaveri. But I have to pay back for the wood. Shemanas kein hilchli Yeshua saaretz. These were all rules that Yeshua gave Etz Yisrael to us for. So where are all these rules? Answers the Gemara, b'yichidoy lo kivnoyim. Our Braisa only mentions the rules that everybody agrees were Yeshua instituted. These rules that we're learning now were not rules that everybody agrees that Yeshua instituted. They're rules that only certain individuals believe Yeshua instituted. And therefore, they don't belong. That's why they weren't put into this Braisa.